Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone. This is Melissa Bilardi, your host on Health for HD. We are recording live and podcasting all about health for Huntington's disease. The goal every week, of course, is to introduce incredible special guests to educate and inspire you. We now have 5,600 listeners, so thank you for your support and interest in Health for HD programming. A special thanks to Lundbeck, Inc. for bringing us Xenazine, the first FDA-approved drug for chorea associated with Huntington's disease, and for supporting Help for HD. Without all of you, we would not have a show. Our call-in numbers are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. When you call in, press 1, and I will cue you into the show. We have someone waiting now, and hopefully I'll get to them soon. Please tell all your friends and family about the show and click follow on your show page, on our show page, to get email reminders of upcoming episodes. Tonight, our incredible special guest is Jane Cogan, HDSA Advocacy Manager with the Huntington's Disease Society of America in New York. She is going to explain the Huntington's Disease Parity Act, S-648-HR. 718, and we'll be talking about the many facets of the HDSA National Advocacy Program. Hi, Jane. Welcome back to A Help for HD. How are you tonight?
Hi, Melissa. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Let's talk about the National Advocacy Program briefly.
Okay. So the National Advocacy Program, what we do at the national office is we look at legislation that would improve the lives of individuals and families affected by HD. And that includes healthcare reform, that includes things like the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, and of course the Huntington's Disease Parity Act. And basically the way that we like to look at it is that HDSA is the voice for HD families, that, you know, we ask people to participate as the faces of HD and tell their stories, and then we follow up to speak for people with HD on Capitol Hill.
Well, now, why is advocacy so vital to improving the lives of our HDers? Why is that so important?
Advocacy is really important because unless we as citizens and as voters and as advocates tell our members of Congress what's important to us, they have no way of knowing. And the only way that we can affect change is by looking at, you know, what's wrong and telling Congress how to fix it. And
right.
You know,
can you tell us
what?
Yep. It's so important that we all try to do something to help with advocating. Now, tell us, what is GINA? What is the GINA? Is that a GINA Act? Is that a bill?
Yes, GINA is the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, and that protects people from genetic discrimination based on genetic information in the workplace and by health insurers.
Okay, and that should help a lot of people with their private information, their genetic information.
It does, yes.
Go ahead. What is HDSA doing about healthcare reform? What is that all about?
Well, we have, as an organization, we were, before healthcare reform was passed, we were part of a coalition to pass it. We participate in the National Health Council in groups like that to stay informed on the rollout of healthcare reform, and we also participate with groups such as the National Organization of Rare Diseases, NORD, and as I said, the National Health Council and the Genetic Alliance to monitor the legislation closely to be sure that as it rolls out, there are provisions included that, you know, help and people with HD.
Right. Okay, let's really get into the nitty-gritty and the meat of what we're here talking about today, and that is the Huntington's Disease Parity Act. And there's some confusion out there, so can you describe exactly what this is and how it works in our government?
Absolutely. The legislation would do two things. So first of all, the first thing that the Huntington's Disease Parity Act would do is that it would compel Social Security to update their listings for Huntington's disease. And what that means is that when somebody with HD who is no longer able to work and becomes disabled, they apply for disability. And the criteria that the Social Security Administration currently uses is over 30 years old. And as a result of these really old and outdated criteria, many people have a lot of trouble getting disability. So that's the first part of the legislation. It would fix the severely outdated criteria. And the second part of the legislation would waive the 2-year waiting period for Medicare. Right now, when somebody is disabled, or when SSA says somebody is disabled, after that they still have to wait 2 years to get Medicare. And these are people that already have symptoms of HD. They're people that are not able to work, and you know, many of them are taking medication to manage their symptoms. If they don't have another form of insurance, that means that many people are without health care for those 2 years.
Okay. So one of our questions from one of our listeners is, once the Parity Act is passed, how long will it take to receive Medicare?
Once the Parity Act is passed, once somebody becomes disabled and is eligible for disability, they would then also be eligible for Medicare.
So there will be no waiting period?
There will be no waiting period. That's correct.
Now, will the federal government take a certain amount of time to update, or
yes,
will it go into effect immediately?
Well, that's a really great question, Melissa. Basically, the Social Security Administration is given 6 months
make these changes. Okay, so possibly would take 6 months, but after that, there would be no waiting period for people with the disability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Congress, there's a new Congress, so that means we have a new bill. That why we have all the numbers?
It does. It actually means we have two new bills. The House bill, which is H.R. 718 this year, was introduced in February by Congressmen Filner and Bilbray, and then in March, Senator Gillibrand introduced S-648 in the Senate. Because there's two chambers of Congress, there's two different bill numbers, one for the House and one for the Senate.
But then because we have the new Congress, then there's another new one?
Well, those are the two new ones. Bill numbers I just mentioned they're the new bill numbers, and that's why right now we have 43 co-sponsors in the House and two in the Senate. And that's, right now we are building up to the number where we're at because the last Congress adjourned and we had to start from scratch.
Okay, so where are we with co-sponsors in the House and the Senate then? How many do we need?
Well, unfortunately, there's no magic number. There's not, if we get to half, which is 218 in the House and 51 in the Senate, then we could probably get it to the floor for a vote, but even that half is not a magic number because it depends on who it is. The simple answer is the more the better, but, you know, I'd also like to talk a little bit about how ALS did it, because they got the 2-year waiver, and, you know, their process was a lot like ours. So they had the bill introduced twice. When they got the bill passed, they had 282 co-sponsors in the House and 28 in the Senate. And they got those co-sponsors the same way that we are, right? By going, by talking to their members of Congress, by having meetings. So
great.
They did it. We can do it too.
Okay. Well, now, I've had some other questions, and I'll try to, you know, ask the questions at the appropriate time from our listeners because we've had quite a few. And one of the questions was, although, you know, Bilbray and Filner introduced the H.R. 678, now H.R. 718, into Congress, how come there's no media coverage regarding this?
Well, the simple answer is that it can be really difficult to get media coverage. And it's something that, especially because we don't have the numbers or the celebrity that some other diseases do, but something that one way that we can get media coverage is by telling our personal stories, you know, through letters to the editor, through really personalizing it, is the ways in which I've, you know, seen us get media coverage. But, you know, it is definitely a challenge.
So maybe writing letters to the editor, maybe human interest stories at your local TV, radio, news stations, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. I think making a local connection and making it local is really important, because that's going to be, you know, more newsworthy. And, you know, one thing that I've seen a lot from as an impact of the local stories is that that also brings out more people that are also affected, and that's a way that others who might not be tapped into resources are able to find help, because they realize that they're not the only ones that are facing this.
Right. Good job. Okay. So tell us again, why is it so important for everyone to participate? Because this is really, we need to kind of drive it home and not be shy about it. Why is this so darn important for us to participate in this?
Because we, as a community, we need to speak up. If we want other people to help us speak up, then we need to speak up first. And also, if we're not speaking, then, you know, then who's going to? And there are, you know, as I said, there are 435 members of Congress in the House. There's 100 senators, and all of them need to hear from people who are affected by HD, from people whose loved ones are affected by HD. So that they know that this that the Huntington's Disease Parity Act matters to their community.
Right. Well, you know what? I have a couple of callers here, so let me see if I can grab them, and I think they probably want to ask some questions. Hold on one second. Hi, this is Melissa. You're on Help for HD. Would you like to ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What's your name?
Rick.
Hi, what would you like to ask?
Jane was asking a couple of weeks ago about a VA representative. I happen to have a friend of mine who is willing to help.
Awesome. Is this Rick Durkee?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Rick. thank you very, very, very much. We would like the help of somebody in the VA to specifically talk with the senators in Virginia, because they're both in the military. So I will follow up with you about that, about how to sort of best coordinate.
Okay.
Oh, awesome, Rick. Thank you for calling.
All
right. And Jane, you'll get back to him, right?
Of course. I have
great.
Thank you.
Rick, I'll
thank you, Rick.
I'm listening to y'all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have another caller here. Hold on. Hello, this is Melissa. You're on Health for HD. Would you like to ask a question? Hello, you're on Health for HD. Nope, they probably just want to listen. Okay. You never know. Sometimes they want to talk and sometimes they don't. Okay, here's another question. If somebody's already completed the online form for both Parity Acts, what can they do to make sure their message has gotten to their state representatives?
That's a really, really great question. If somebody has written online, used our through our e-action center to write to their representative and their two senators, they can send another email just to follow up to their healthcare, their members of Congress healthcare legislative aid. Every member of Congress has a staff person who is devoted to healthcare, and that's the person who reads and responds to this legislation. And by making a personal relationship with the healthcare staffer is another way that advocates can push this forward. And this also applies if you've written to Congress and you haven't heard anything back.
Which is what I've done. And how do I find the healthcare staffer?
You contact me. The reason because there's 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate, over 500 members, and let me tell you, there's staff changes. So I get a new at least once a month and sometimes sooner. Yes, that's why we don't put that information online, but please email me for that. You know, I will get back to you with that information, and if you have questions on what to say or how to phrase it, I'm more than happy to talk with individuals.
Yes.
Well,
everybody, get in touch with Jane at HDSA, and it's jcogan@hdsa.org. Or can they call you directly, or is it better to email?
Whatever is better for the person is better for me. My phone number, toll-free, is 800-345-4372, extension 226.
Great. So they can call you directly as well.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, let me break in here real quick. It's 15 minutes already through the show, and you're listening to Help for HD. This is Melissa, your host, and our incredible special guest tonight is Jane Cogan, HDSA Advocacy Manager in New York. Our call-in numbers for the live segment here is 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. We are recording live, but you can listen again right after the end of the show. Just give it about an hour to propagate through the website, and you can listen again. So, anyway, why is May Huntington's Disease Awareness Month?
May is Huntington's.
Do we know that?
I'm actually not sure why it's Huntington's Disease Awareness Month, but I know that this is the month that was designated to be HD Awareness Month. And, you know, I'm so thrilled already at everything that I've seen on Facebook and different ways that people are really raising awareness. And HD Awareness Month is really our opportunity to engage people outside of the HD community in our efforts, because everybody can relate to having some sort of genetic issue. And this is, you know, this is our month to not only to raise awareness, but to educate, but also to engage others.
And is this a good time also to set up meetings with your senators in Congress? Are they on recess right now, or did they go back already?
They went back already, but they will be, the House is going to be on recess again on the week of May 16th, from May 16th to May 20th. And then the Senate is going to be on break from from May 30th to Friday, June 3rd.
Is there a place where people can go to see when they're on and when they're not on?
It changes sometimes, so I would.
Call Jane.
There is a
call Jane.
It's not written in stone, unfortunately.
Okay, so if I wanted to set up a meeting with my state senator or Congress, how would I go about doing that?
I would, you know, contact me. I will. And you contact me, and that's also good, because if we know that people are requesting meetings, then, you know, for one thing, if somebody has never done this before, I can walk people through the process. I can request meetings for them on their behalf. And, you know, if their member of Congress isn't really being responsive, I can also follow up. And additionally, it also helps HDSA to know when advocates are requesting meetings, because then we could dovetail on those meetings and request meetings in Washington. So that we're really
teamwork
from all sides. Exactly.
That's called teamwork. I love that. Now, with everything going on in our government right now, you know, there's a lot of rumors about cutting back on Medicare and, or even getting rid of Medicare. Do you know if the Parity Act will be affected if that happens, and what will happen if that does happen?
Well, first of all, I want to say that from everything we've heard from our lobbying team, from the National Health Council, it's not likely that Medicare is actually going to get repealed. But, you know, if it were to get repealed, then, you know, we would have to think of, you know, another strategy, another framework within whatever the existing framework would be. However, if there's, you know, cuts, anything like that would not affect this legislation.
Now, what if Medicare were to go away? Then what would happen? We'd have to do something different, right?
We would have to do something different, but Medicare would not just go away. It would be replaced by another entity to serve on to serve people who are retired and people who are disabled. So it would not there would still be to work with it.
I guess the concern that I would have, or the question that I have, is would we then have to start all over again, or would there be measures in place to kind of catapult from, you know?
If it were, I'm not sure.
Hopefully that won't happen.
And hopefully it won't happen. And as I said, it's really not likely to happen. That is a sort of catastrophic worst-case scenario. But, you know, on the flip side, what we are seeing is that this is a very difficult fiscal climate. So it is, you know, it is difficult to get any sort of legislation through that costs money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I figure if ALS can do it, we can do it too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have a new campaign called Let's Talk About Huntington's Disease. What's that all about? How are we going to get that out to the community?
Well, we're getting it out to the community on Facebook and on our website and through speakers at support groups. But, you know, let me take a few steps back and talk about what the campaign is. For HD Awareness Month, we are doing a campaign, a month-long advocacy campaign. And every week in May, we are going to be asking advocates to take action for the Huntington's Disease Parity Act. And if you're listening today, thank you. And this is the first week. This is our week to get
that.
So as I said, there's going to be actions for each week. And then on May 31st, we're asking advocates to call Congress for the Huntington's Disease Parity Act. And we'll provide for every single thing that we do, we will break it down, we will make it easy, we'll give people samples and make it, you know, very, very seamless so that someone who's never participated can still do it. And one way that, you know, we're also trying to grow it is that as a part of this campaign, we're also asking people to engage others.
Right. Now, you have a whole month planned out every week. It's going to be a new kind of activity. So let's go through that real quick. And then we've got about 6 minutes remaining in the live portion. We'll go ahead and record, you know, after the show goes off the live portion. But let's just talk real quick about the weeks in May that you have planned. May 2nd, the week of May 2nd?
May 2nd is Get Fired Up. You know, if you're listening right now after the show, pass this on to your friends and family so that they can listen as well and get fired up. Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry. Okay, May 8th, what are we doing in May
8th, we are recruiting our awareness-raising team. We're asking 10 people to commit to participate in Let's Talk About HD activities and to commit to call Congress on May 31st.
Okay, and week of May 15th?
On May 15th, we're educating the media. We're writing a letter to the editor of the local newspaper, and HDSA will provide the letter, will provide a list of newspapers, and we'll make it for people on the computer, we'll make it as easy as a mouse click.
Okay, May 22nd, week of May 22nd, what are we doing?
Week of May 22nd, we're educating Congress. So we're asking people to write to their to senators and their representative about the Huntington's Disease Parity Act. For people who have already written, we're asking them to write again to follow up. And, of course, with this as well, we're asking you know, your awareness-raising team to also participate.
Okay, and then May 31st?
May 31st, everyone needs to call Congress. And for anyone who's nervous, who's never called Congress before, you will have the numbers there in front of you. You will have the talk, what to say there in front of you. It's going to be so easy. And even if you've never called before, this is something that anyone can do.
Okay, tell us real quick about your webinar on May 17th.
Oh, it's so exciting. On May 17th, we are having a special webinar. And what we're actually going to do is we're going to have three advocates from all around the country talk about the different ways that they participate in HDSA advocacy. And then there's going to be a dialogue between them on sort of how they can move things forward and, you know, how everyone at any level can participate.
Awesome.
That's
okay, now everybody, it's just one thing that you have to do a week, right? It's not, this is not a full-time job, and Jane can give you all the instructions. We have a PowerPoint. I'm going to be speaking to my support group in May. I've already spoken to our Kiwanis Club, and I'm hoping to have other speaking engagements, but we'll have to wait and see what time permits. And, we're, you know, our walk is on the 21st of May, so we're trying to get people kind of revved up and geared up to learn all about Huntington's disease and why it's important to be advocates. So what else can you tell us about what you're doing in May? Can people sign up online?
Yes.
www.hdsa.org, join?
Yes, www.hdsa.org/join. You will sign up to be an e-advocate. I send out advocacy emails no more than once a week. But, you know, that way you know if we're meeting with your member of Congress and this is the time that, you know, your representative or your senator really needs to hear from you. And, you know, of course, I'll be also emailing information that is going out about the Let's Talk About HD campaign every week as well.
Okay, now you have a Facebook page, HDSA Advocacy?
I do. I have a Facebook page and a Facebook group, and I'm experimenting with both. So please join both as for each week's event, I will also be creating a Facebook event so that if you are on Facebook, that's another way that you can participate and spread the word.
Okay, now what is your group called, your Facebook group called?
It's called HDSA Advocacy Join Us.
Okay, very good. We're getting ready to go off of our live portion in about 2 minutes. So I'll wrap that up. I have a few announcements. May 9, Dr. Ira Schulson, Huntington Study Group, founder and chairman, will be on. May 16 and 23rd, I'm still waiting for confirmation. I'm trying to get JHD programming, and hopefully that will go through. June 6, July 5, and August 8, the Crest E series will be on. And we have a new group on Facebook, Help for HD / Help HSG Awareness. We'd like to hear from you about your experiences with study groups and trials, that kind of thing. HSG wants to hear what, you know, what has happened with our community, and they've come to me to help them disseminate information. So I'm really excited about that. And okay, we've got 90 seconds. Good night to everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Help for HD. Thank you, Jane Kogan, for a very insightful and informative program tonight. You may contact Jane directly at www.hdsa.org or email her, jkogan@hdsa.org. You may reach me at helpforhd@yahoo.com. Please don't hesitate to contact me with any questions or suggestions about content for programming. Jane, you want to give us your phone number and extension again at HDSA?
Absolutely, Melissa. It's 800-345-4372, extension 226.
Awesome. Thank you, Jane. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We can go ahead and keep chatting for a while because there are some more questions that I have. And looks like we have another caller. Let me see if I can grab them real quick. Hold on.
Okay.
Hi, this is Melissa. You're on Help for HD. How can I help you?
Hi, Melissa. I just wanted you folks to know that over here in Rochester, Minnesota, we are cheering for this because we've had our support group only for a couple of years, but it's starting to grow and
wonderful.
We want We want a cure. There's several of us that have husbands that have Huntington's, and, you know, so we've been dealing with it for 12 years now in my family. So
have you connected with Jane yet for advocacy?
Yes, I have. She emailed me, and I just listened to your half-hour blog on the radio.
Great.
So,
well, thank you so much for calling.
You bet. Just wanted you to know we're cheering for you, too, and all
of
us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. You have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Ah, that's sweet. Okay, so let's see. Did I ask you? Let's see. Okay, we talked about how to become an e-advocate.
Uh-huh.
Now, is there another place to go on HGSA.org for the call-in, call Congress? Is that another one?
So, HGSA.org/call Congress will be the URL, the address that people can go to for the call-in alert. And that's going to, once somebody puts in their zip code, it will give them the phone number to, and they will be taken through on basically three different calls. They'll be taken through calling their senator. They'll be asked to fill out feedback to tell us how it went so that we can follow up. Then they're going to get their number for the second senator on, you know, same thing with talking points, and then their representative. So our system's going to walk people through the whole
thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can hit three birds with one call, right?
Well, it's going to be three calls just because it is three different offices, but again,
gotcha.
It's going to be pretty quick, easy, and seamless, and it's only going to be one website to go to for all three calls. So it's just going to be scrolling through it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that the other website that people should definitely know about for advocacy is www.hdsa.org/takeaction. And our e-action center. And if you go, you can find all of our action alerts on that site.
Oh, great.
Also find out who's co-sponsoring. It's a great place where, people can really easily, simply, tell Congress what matters to them.
Right. Now, let's see, what was the other one I was going to talk to you about? Okay, tell us why our representatives need to see us and hear our stories. Why is that so important?
Well, because basically to support this legislation, even if somebody has co-sponsored it last year, they still need to hear from a constituent to do it. Right now we have meetings almost every week with in the House and in the Senate with different members, and every single time they go into the office, they ask us, well, we haven't heard from our constituents about this. Can we hear from a constituent? So basically, if this matters to you and you're not writing about it, that means that your members of Congress don't know that it matters, and it means that it might not matter to them. And sometimes all it takes is for, you know, one or two people to say this matters to me for that member to go on board.
You know, Lauren Holder is a good example for that. She has really, stepped out of her comfort zone to meet with her representatives, and I think having a personal relationship and having a personal contact is it's 1,000 times more effective than any phone call or email, don't you think?
I think that a personal contact is definitely good. And, you know, it's funny, Lauren's actually one of the people that's going to be on our webinar on the 17th.
Ah, great.
to talk about the meeting. But, you know, you're absolutely right. Developing that personal relationship is key. And, you know, everyone can start from the place we're comfortable. So if you're comfortable starting from an email, that's a great place to start. And, you know, it's about following up. And, you know, by continuing to email the health staffer, you develop that sort of personal relationship with that individual too. And then they know your story, and then, you know, they can advocate for you, and then you can build up to the local meeting, and it's not as bad because you've already been talking about it and writing about it and, you know, corresponding with a person, so the meeting is the logical next step. But it's all
right.
about starting from where you're comfortable.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, being caregivers, we can't get out to meet with people. We're kind of stuck. We're, you know, we're homebound. We can't go out there and actually physically meet with people. So, and that's okay. But, you know, I'm trying to do everything that I can do. Now, what do you do when you get a generic response? Like I received a response from my rep this bill is not on the Ways and Means Committee. What does that mean?
So what your representative probably told you is that they do not sit on the Ways and Means Committee, so they will consider your, they will keep your views in mind should this legislation come to the House floor for a vote. And I know this response almost by heart because it's one of the most popular non-responses. You know, because members of Congress get so many emails, they figured out sort of shortcuts, ways in which they can sound very positive and very nice, but not really answer the question. So the bill, the Huntington's Disease Parity Act, H.R. 718, is right now in committee. It's in the Ways and Means Committee. So
okay.
That means that the people that have the most power on this legislation are the members of the Ways and Means Committee. However, any representative can co-sponsor any legislation.
In fact,
you know, we have 43 co-sponsors right now. The majority of them do not sit on Ways and Means. And unless the way that your representative can show their support is by co-sponsoring this legislation now. So what you do if you receive a response like this is to just say thank you, you know, thank right to the health staffer. Thank them for the response and politely repeat your request for co-sponsorship.
Okay. Have I been doing okay in that department? Because I got a little frustrated at the start, but then I realized, you know, they probably send that email out to everybody.
Yes.
Right.
They do send the email out to everybody. So, you know, there's certain things. And by the way, in the Senate, in the House, it's I do not sit on Ways and Means. In the Senate, it's I do not sit on the Senate Finance Committee. It's totally normal, and, you know, you just hit them with numbers. You know, they'll keep your views in mind. Well, you can just say, well, thank you, but, you know, I know that any representative or senator can co-sponsor this. Will you do that?
Right. So don't despair. If you get a generic response, call Jane. Get the right person to talk to.
Exactly.
Right?
If you get a generic response, or if you get a response and you're not sure what it means, or, you know, if you get a response and you're really frustrated and you just want to know what to do next, please don't hesitate to call me.
Thank you for being available to us. Now, what else can we do? What are the other options? And especially for us people who are stuck at home and can't get out, what else can we do?
Well, something that you can do, Melissa, that applies to a lot of people at home and also people that who may live kind of far from where their elected officials have offices, is to set up phone meetings. And I've had this done a few times, and, you know, the good thing about a phone meeting is that you can even have a phone meeting with a staff person in Washington.
Right.
Who's a health staff person. And that's something that, you know, anyone can do. The other thing that, you know, anyone can do, which is so important, that you've been doing such amazing work, is to spread the word and involve others. Because it's not just about participating. It's also about, you know, if somebody cares about you and if somebody cares about your family, then they care about the issues that affect you.
That's true.
Yeah. So there's a
reach
whole
out.
People. Exactly.
Reach out to your churches, reach out to your, you know, groups, your clubs, your everything. And don't be shy because, you know, our lives depend on it. That's for sure. Each year's lives really depend on us being advocates and, you know, working as hard as we can to bring that to fruition.
Now, you're going to be doing some Facebook events. You're going to do, are you doing the Facebook event for the webinar on the 17th?
Yes, I will be doing, actually, the next Facebook event is going to be for next week for recruiting.
Oh, good.
I'm going to ask others.
Oh, good.
Ask people to invite people to join the Facebook group, to invite
people
to participate. And, you know, also actually I will probably set up on all of the events so that people can invite others to it. And I'm definitely going to make it on Facebook. But, you know, if there's one thing that, you know, everyone needs to do, it's to call Congress on the 31st. Because if enough
right.
people call on the same day, that's such a huge impact.
Okay, everybody, call on May 31st and go on hdsa.org/callcongress and get. Do they need to sign up there or can they just call?
They'll just be able to call. If they go to www.hdsa.org/callcongress, they are
mm-hmm.
taken to an alert, and all they have to do is enter their zip code, and then our advocacy system basically tells them what congressional district they're in. And does the rest.
Okay, now, is there a specific time of day or just any time on the 31st?
Between 9 and 5 is best, just because between 9 and 5 Eastern time is best, because that's when Congress is open.
Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Standard
okay.
Time. Right.
So everybody, mark your calendars, please. Let's drive it into the call-in day. Let's drive it into the Congress. Now, is there anything else that you wanted to say? Anything that we've not talked about that I've missed?
Just looking at my notes. I think we have covered all of my major points, but the other thing is if anyone has any questions or any individual questions about their member of Congress, they don't know what to do. HDSA is here to work with you. HDSA is here to help you in the process. So please don't hesitate to contact me. You know, Melissa said my email is jkogan, J-K-O-G-A-N, at hdsa.org. And, you know, you can also call me at 800-345-4372, extension 226. No. I'm here to help people advocate and to, you know, really make this an easy and seamless and fun process, and we're going to give you all of the tools that you need to do that.
Thank you so much, Jane. You are just so vivacious and so eager to help us, and we really love you. We appreciate all that you do for us, and looking forward to watching this thing develop and pass. We need to have this bill passed, and hopefully we'll get that done this year, right?
This Congress, yes. This is the Congress. Remember, Congress, we do have 2 years, because Congress is in session for 2 years.
Okay.
So, but, you know, this right. year is definitely better. And, you know, thank you, Melissa, for having me on, and thank you to everyone who's listening and everyone who's, you know, writing to Congress already. You're the reason that this bill is been introduced. You're the reason that we've gotten this far, so please just continue to put the pressure on.
Yes, and don't hesitate to call Jane or contact me, and I can get you to Jane. And we'll wrap up the show for tonight, and I just want to tell you thank you again. We appreciate all that you do, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, Melissa.
You have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.